Yo, what up, though? This is Esham, and you rocking with the Connected Experience.
Yo, what up, though, man? This is Big Greg, and you rocking with the Connected Experience.
This is Premium P, and you're rocking with the Connected Experience.
Chill. Oh, yeah, this is Jake Prince coming at you live and in living color, and you rocking with the Connect Experience.
Yo, what's up, everybody? It's comedian TK Kirkland, a.k.a. T to the motherfucking K. And when I'm in Detroit, you already know what it is. I listen to the Connected Experience. You should, too.
Connected.
I'm Santoine.
I'm Antoine.
And we the Connected Experience.
Bro, what's the Connected Experience?
It's a lifestyle.
The lifestyle.
Our lifestyle.
How that lifestyle been treating you?
Man, I can't complain, man. That lifestyle has been treating me so excellent, man. But it's been something that's like been on my mind that I've been wanting to ask you, dog, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Because I feel like you gonna agree with me, but I don't know because we changed so much. Like,
I changed.
What's the most memorable line from Menace to Society?
It's never not gonna be Pass me the wire cutters essay.
Okay. Like, what are we talking about? Like, what are we talking about?
Some people don't believe that. You know, they believe is, you know, you done fucked up, right?
Yeah.
But like, pass me the wire cutters essay, like, that was the most memorable line in that. If I watch Menace to Society and it's already passed that part, I'm tight.
I'm watching it up until that point, man. So how you been? What's in your title?
Today, Nipsey Hussle, Racks in the Middle. It just something about today just made me want
to listen
to that.
Because, you know, the album turned a year. 2 days ago.
See,
that's what I'm saying. It's
Yeah. But you know what turned? You know what dropped in 2011, February 15th, though.
May in the 80s.
And if you don't know what May in the 80s is, that's us as identical because we rap. We used to rap back in the day, and we still gas him up a lot of shit if we wanted to.
Yeah.
But this was our classic album. This was what we knew would it be, and that's May in the 80s, identical. My daughter discovered that on her own. I ain't even put her on that. She could go viral singing these songs. Like, it's funny, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So how that lifestyle been treating you?
Yeah, man, I can't complain, man. It's just like, well, I'm in full grind mode, dog, and I just love it. You know, I got lotion on today, but I like these hands dirty.
And dirty fingernails, reaching in my pocket, pulling knots out. Word to P.
Yeah.
So today is a special episode
Definitely for us
because so if y'all been keeping up with our YouTube, the Connected Experience podcast visuals, we have a section called The Vault. And what The Vault is all our old podcasts. We've been doing this since 2017. We never released anything for real on anywhere where you could see us. It was just all audio, but we had everything stacked up. And we still got more. So we recently released the episode, and it was with Calvin Hawkins, and that was the first time that we actually met in person. We co-authored a book together, Justice for Nikisha, A Father's Pain. And when we met that time, he was actually bringing me the copy of the book, because I told him the only way that I'm gonna get the book is if we finish it and you bring it to me. You can't mail it to me, none of that. You have to hand deliver it. And that was the last episode that you seen Calvin Hawkins on. So
when it came to the Connected Experience,
right,
definitely been making it around.
But we gonna get to that. Fast forward, he back, brand new episode.
Okay, so that was actually in 2021 or 2022. It was 2022, I believe. So now it's 2024.
Yeah.
The book has been released. And not only been released, it's actually a two-time award winning.
You know what I'm saying? So this time that he came, he brought the plaques. Y'all see the plaques in the background. Right. Two-time award winning. My plaque looked different. You know what I'm saying? I just didn't bring it because it's in storage, you know what I'm saying? Because I ain't got my man room together, like my man half of the house. Like, you know what I'm saying? It's not even a cave. But we got Calvin Hawkins here.
Now we got the award winner.
The two-time award-winning
author.
Calvin Hawkins, you know what I'm saying?
That
sounds good. And what I told you, that's what you want to do. We gonna make
congratulations.
That happen. Congratulations,
first of all, for me to y'all, congratulations.
Thank you.
It was a very hard process because what the book is centered around and based about, and this is your real life. So yeah, it's a true crime novel. And sometimes when people watching stuff like Dateline and stuff like that, when they see it, it's through the TV, so it can affect you because the story sounds sad. But for you to live it, take that pain that has been not only bottled up but also in the forefront, put the words to the page, so you had to relive it again. You probably relive it every single day, but you had to relive it again. Trust somebody else with it to put that story in order and make chronological sense to a reader, and then come out a two-time award winner. I'm proud of you, dog.
On your debut.
I'm proud of you, man.
Congratulations.
That's big.
To you,
congratulations,
man. I'm proud of us. I'm proud of you. I'm proud of me and everybody who had to
go through that process with us, man. That was a real, that was a tough process.
That was a tough process.
A lot of good came out of it, though. A lot of good came out of it.
Yeah, because more people get to hear the story. And when it comes to stories like this, the more people hear these stories, the more human these stories become. Because like I said, like on a Dateline or something, it's like you could watch that and be like, yeah, that was messed up. What's coming on next? But to actually be a part of y'all process, because a lot of times when he write, he secluded. But this just wasn't that type of book. He had to get that type of stuff out because we be around each other. And he like, I can't bring certain energy around you. But I mean, this could happen to any one of us. Any parent out there, this could happen, right? And with that being said, you actually here to talk about a new project that you're working on, which is the Grieving Our Babies podcast, because this has happened to so many people. So talk about the new podcast that you have coming up.
Yeah, it's Grieving Our Babies podcast. So what I'm trying to do, well, not what I'm trying to do, what I'm going to do is not have other parents get their doors shut on them, because when I was reaching out, when nobody helped.
Yeah.
When I was reaching out, didn't nobody want to listen. So I'm like, man, this crazy. So like 6 weeks ago, I woke up, I was like, Grieving Our Babies podcast. I was like, that's what I'm going to do. So I went to my boy's shop where he posed to be here today.
Yeah, you say you got a little nervous, but we here to help, bro. Like, you should have came, man, because that would have, now we would have known where we could go record it when we in Indiana. You know what I'm saying? So, but
now we might book a session with dude and he don't show up. But anyway, yeah, that's all in fun, bro. Because we don't know you. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but we definitely had it. We invited. He told me he wanted to bring you, and I'm like, yeah, have him come out. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. So I was telling him just like, what it's gonna be about. I was like, listen, remember I was trying to get all that help. When nobody listened to me, I said, it's a lot of parents out there. Maybe some parents with some more messed up stories than me and Janice. Yeah. Like, listen, man, now they got a place where they can come and talk about it.
And get it out.
Yeah, who knows?
Because they may need to just talk to somebody who understand, but more importantly, some of these people who are grieving their babies, these could be parents that actual crimes happen. Everybody not gonna have an actual crime. Some people child may have passed from cancer or lupus, right, or something like that. My daughter Fran, she 13, she just passed away from brain cancer. Wow. You see what I'm saying? So,
and that mother and father,
they gonna be grieving.
Yeah, so
they
go in a criminal case.
Yeah. So especially when they kids, that's like even telling your daughter that one of her friends passed. That's hard. You feel what I'm saying? So imagine if it's the parent of the person who passed. So this is a great outlet, and I'm really looking forward to this. So I say looking forward, I mean to hearing other people be able to discuss what's going on and express themselves. Not that I'm looking forward, like, who want to look forward to having to talk about something like that?
Yeah, because when publicly, I was reaching out to people at times, it was like, here he come, or I don't want to hear that shit today, or, you know,
and I'm sorry to cut you off, but people feel like that until you in they, until they in your shoes somehow. And this type of stuff happens so much. Like, kids, I mean, because it's a real world. And what I mean by that is, like, yeah, people think that you're supposed to be born and die when you young. I mean, die when you old or whatever. But like, none of us ever just seen it happen like that, or it'd be a bunch of old motherfuckers running around. That ain't the case.
Well, you have seen it happen like that because it is old people, but that's not
the case. No, I'm saying everybody don't get
that's
old.
What I mean.
So
that's,
like,
I told my daughter when explaining that her friend passed, I said, "That's how you know the human experience." You feel what I'm saying? Because as you grow, people, not just your grandparents, go die. It's going to be people you met in preschool. And then somebody you met in preschool, y'all might both live to y'all in y'all 60s and 70s and speak about it. Like, dang, we met in preschool. But everybody not going to be here along the journey. When we were growing up, we only thought people passed because of violence, because people were dying violently. Young kids were dying violently in our peers. Our peers. So it's like, I've experienced that. I don't even know somebody that I can pinpoint as a youth who just died of in high school, a young lady who everybody loved at the school, she passed of meningitis. She was in 10th grade. Her sister was in 12th grade. I think we was in 11th grade. And that's the first time I'm like, I know somebody who passed, but it wasn't because of violence. And it should never, that's just the reality of where we come from. Like, it took, but, and then by 11th grade, I had known at least seven people who had been murdered in a young age range. You see what I'm saying? Violent murders, like shot up with grown people at a pool hall or killed and left in a trunk and only discovered because it was springtime and the smell.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? So it's like then when somebody died, like, dang, people really just pass away as a child. So those are hard conversations to have, and to be able to express that with somebody who understand it, what we...
It's a blessing, but that's crazy to say that that's the... No, it's not crazy to say. It's a blessing that you are providing an outlet, because we know people probably calling you from all over the country.
Yeah, I done got calls now from California, Texas, Ohio, Pennsylvania. Then I just got a person just hit my YouTube, and he's in St. Louis.
Right. And when we was talking about it, when we was going over a few things with you about the podcast, I said, the thing about this is, man, you never going to run out of guests. Like,
it ain't even just due to violence. It's just like parents just losing their kids, like you said, like sick and car accidents and things like that.
Right, because you actually recently just found out something you never knew about somebody you talk to, like, every day.
Every single day.
Can you discuss that?
I'll let him discuss it. But
shocking to everybody.
It was messed up to me. Like, hold up, man.
That's wild because I know. Like, that's wild because it's like... That's how people don't understand or know how to even grieve, because even if he would have told you that while you was going through that, that would make your relationship stronger, because we got more in common than what we even think.
But this is what's crazy. So I was thinking, like, that's probably why their relationship was like that, because he was seeing how strong you were, and, like, you feel what I'm saying? And he looking at it like, if I could be that strong, maybe, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but she was there for me the whole time.
No, but that's what I'm saying. That's why, though, because, but let's talk about this, man. So it's a lot of great stuff that's been going on with you, like a whole lot, man. So let's talk about, you got the episode on Hulu. We didn't get a chance to discuss that. It's called Web of Death, episode 5, Facebook Live, you know what I'm saying? We didn't get to talk about that, man, and that... Like, that is, if you haven't watched Web of Death on Hulu, and normally we don't promote stuff like that, but it's my partner a part of it, my brother a part of it. So you go to Hulu, go to Web of Death, go to episode 5, and it's called Facebook Live. And this is his story in a Dateline type of setting. You know what I'm saying? And
it's actual live footage
of you got to see it. You know what I'm saying? You got to see it. So after that came out, a lot changed for you within your community. Because you was battling the whole community. You was like going to war with the whole community.
Yeah, they didn't like me.
Yeah, but before the book came out, after that came out,
a positive change.
Stuff started changing. So talk about that, because they didn't even know what was coming with the book. You feel me? Like, but to actually see the visual of how things were treated and everything, your community started to like embrace you and love you way more than,
like, after we put the book out, then the Hulu came out, then you went with us, we went to Vegas, and me and my wife got remarried.
Macho did that, so that was something.
Yeah, that was Macho.
Because so again, with the Connected Experience podcast visuals on YouTube, the vault, we had Macho on there, and he was talking about how he can marry people. Then we had Joe episode where it was talking about how we was gonna go to Vegas and y'all was gonna renew your vows. So just to let the viewers know, like, it really happened. Macho really did that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
In front of the Bellagio.
That was good. It was beautiful. It was beautiful.
Somebody said I do, then the fountain came up.
That was a storybook.
That was right on time.
And I wrote about their first wedding in the book, and then I met you renewing your vows. That was dope. So the community really started to embrace you, man, and a lot of positive things started to happen, even to the point that we almost to that bill in Nikisha's name.
Talk about that.
That's huge.
Yeah, I had setback, you know, and started writing, and I wrote up a bill, but they haven't checked it out. Well, they checked it out, so I talked to the senator. Me and Janice went met with the senator, and I gave it to him, and he looked at it. He was like, who wrote this? And I'm like, I did. He's like, hey, man, this needs to be passed. So you know.
In the process of that, that, yeah, that will
so be. So what is the actual bill? What will, I mean, before, of course, they probably got to.
Yeah, they're going to have to do that.
Yeah, so what did you actually write out?
It was called a fast action bill.
Okay.
So, it's, you know, it's a bill where how we had to wait for 6 years and for justice and stuff about these kids. So, like, if you coming through there doing drive-by shootings and all that stuff and just shooting up the schools and everything, so when they catch you, you need an automatic sentence.
Okay.
You don't need no trial. Go and send them on their way.
Oh, so the bill would be for anybody who do, like, senseless acts of violence against children. It's an automatic, like, it'll already be a sentence in place, and this one of your charges, so bam, this.
You ain't even got to be outside, man. Listen, what about the babies that's in their house playing a video game?
Right, that's what I mean.
Something come through the dwelling.
Yeah.
Strike them kids. They ain't did nothing.
What made you want to write that? Like, what clicked? Because this, everything has been a long process, and a lot of stuff has been coming up because this did happen years ago.
2011.
And from 2011, since the tragedy, it's been a lot of things racing through your mind. What made you say, I need a bill on my baby? Because
I just don't like seeing kids get hurt, man. Yeah. I honestly don't.
Yeah.
I know some people be faking the funk.
Yeah,
but I'm genuinely like,
yeah. Well, anybody talk to you, man, yeah. If this is an act, hey, you a cold motherfucker.
Yeah. No, man, I actually love kids, bro. Like, yeah. They're the funniest things in life to me. Something wrong with them kids.
Man. Speaking of kids, man, you got a successful bowling program with the kids out there. What's that? Every Tuesday you go live and you show these babies out there bowling, man. Talk about that.
Yeah, we got a bowling league called Baby Bumper Bowlings. See, Keisha, we used to take her bowling every Sunday.
Yeah.
And me and Janice and the other boys, my sons, Calvin and Kenyatta, and my little brother, he used to go with us. So we used to bowl on Sundays. So I was like, forget it. Let's start this up, babe. And so we do it on Tuesdays. But at first, they were just playing around.
Yeah.
So I was like, you know what? I don't know how to get these kids to really bowl. I said, forget it. This is what we going to do. Starting today. But I was trying to do it one day.
Yeah.
One day only.
Yeah.
The kid, I said, $2 for strikes, $1 for spares. Man, they lit my pockets up.
You got to put that incentive out there.
Yeah, so I told Janice, no, we just going to do that for the day. She said, no, you should have started that. That's for now on.
Yeah.
Nah, they letting me have it. Like last week, they really put it on me.
Yeah, but right. They becoming better bowlers as a result of that.
I mean, too. You could actually see the progress because you go live from your Facebook every Tuesday. What time is that you be up there?
At 5 o'clock.
So that's 5. That's not Eastern. Y'all ain't Eastern. Y'all Central.
Oh, yeah.
So 5 Central Standard Time on Tuesday. Tap into his live on
Calvin Hawkins on the Facebook.
Yeah, and watch the little kids bowl, man.
they funny, man. And
donate to that. You know what I'm saying? That's a beautiful thing, man. Yeah, yeah, that's donate to that. But and speaking of kids and stuff, you actually got a classroom at the school now.
Yeah,
too,
yeah.
As
they
well.
Gave us a classroom at the Hope Center. So up in there, we going to start. We waiting to get it furnished now, but we're going to have like after school programs and we introduced it to our kids, the bowling kids.
Yeah.
So we went to the store and got like some bowling pins, you know, the toy bowling pins.
Yeah.
And threw them a party in there. And then we just took score the old way. Like we had them bowling, and then we put the score and stuff on the chalkboard so they can see it. But now they like, let's go to the classroom. But we got to keep going to the bowling alley. We just wait until we get it furnished. So that's what we writing up stuff for it.
So where's the Hope Center located?
It's in Michigan City also.
What's the address?
I got to look it
up. Yeah, look it up. Because people, listen, man.
If the wife come in here, she can tell the address real fast, but she don't want to be on camera.
That's all, dude. Hey, wrong with that.
It's 222 McClellan Ave, Michigan City, Indiana.
222 McClellan Ave, Michigan City, Indiana. So if you in the area and y'all want
to. So what days will y'all be at the Hope Center?
Nah, I just go there all the time, man.
Oh, so you just...
No, you got the real classroom.
No, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. So it's not a certain day that you come like...
I go there and then I help this other dude with his foundation also. It's called Choices.
Okay.
And he got a boxing gym that he done put up in there. And so me and Janice donate to him to help get him speed bags and everything in there.
So it's like a donation community with people with...
We helping. So, and then we also, I go to the high school and I mentor kids too at the high school.
Yeah.
In LaPorte, Indiana. So
okay. How far is that from Michigan City?
15 minutes.
Okay.
15 minutes, man.
Okay.
And like these kids really need some help, bro.
Yeah, man. We gonna come down there. We'll talk to some kids.
Yeah, definitely, I mean? Man. Yo, so cause in the future, you know what I'm saying, we hoping that you could start up a basketball league. Like, we part of the basketball rec league, and we come to Indiana and whoop on y'all. And y'all
come to Michigan and get whooped up.
Because we got all day to do this. We got this type of stuff lasts forever.
Y'all bring some kids down there, too. We can come bowl, too.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. AJ
was a good bowler, then he just stopped in the last couple years. He was getting better. We used to go bowling. Like, we would ditch the kids and go so he could practice. But I do have an older brother named Hassan Sparks, and he's Mr. 300.
Yeah.
He's so good, he don't even take the rings.
I don't know why not, though.
Yeah, I told him, like, bro, them your trophies. But he'll call me, like, yeah, shot a 300 last night. And my partner, Rob Kidd, be out there bowling his ass off, too, man. So that's what I'm saying.
When I was building up, I was in the tournament with Rob Kidd. He is cold. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. But that's what I'm saying. So because what eventually it'll happen, it'll be like, okay, y'all know in March we go to Michigan. Y'all better show out. You feel what I'm saying? And then it's like, okay, to our people, y'all know in April, if we lost in March, we got to go to Indiana and get it back.
The thing is, like, we in the process of building, like, it's all free, man. Just come and your parents got to just volunteer. Like, we doing stuff like that. Like, because I don't ever want a kid to not be able to do something because they can't afford it. And in reality, it's not that they can't afford it. It's that their parents can't afford it. And that shouldn't, like,
stop.
And we don't judge nobody.
They don't even, like, their parents, man. Like, the ones, like, the other day, one of them kids, man, he knocked the wind out of me. Oh, I was like, he said, listen, do my parents got to come to my graduation? I was like, yeah, they're going to come. He was like, I don't want them come. I was like, what? He's like, man, listen, you and my wife. He said, you and your wife, my parents. I said, ugh. I said,
dang, man.
I was like.
Because y'all showing them love, man.
Yeah.
And genuine
love, man. And
like I told somebody, man, you can give these kids something that's free, man.
Yeah.
And don't even cost. You know what it is? A hug.
Yeah.
That's all they need, bro.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
And it's a lot of kids like that because when it really boiled down to it, a lot of people here, not because people wanted them here, but because people wanted to do how kids get here. You feel what I'm saying? And as a result of that, another human came. It's only a select few people be like, yo, we about to have a baby and plan for a baby. Or even if a baby not playing, they like, I accept it how I come. I'm going to be what I think is a good parent. Because you don't know how good a parent are to the kids grown.
Right.
Or till they can explain, like, listen, man. that but like I tell my kids, all you got to do is what you like about my parenting, you take with you. And when you become a parent, you put what you liked about me and your mom parenting with what type of parent you want to be, and that should make you the best parent you can be. You know what I mean?
Yeah, parenting is a everyday struggle, though, man, because some days I'm a good parent, some days I'm not, like, depending on how you looking at parenting. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm a realist, so I gotta hurt your feelings because it's a real world. You know what I'm saying? When you're
and plus,
kid.
If me telling you no is hurting your feelings, that's not
necessarily just saying no.
But a lot of times when kids feel like their feelings have been hurt. So you be like, no.
Nah. Sometimes they rebel and go sneak out and do something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
so,
what I'm saying. But no is no for a lot of reasons, but mainly it's probably no because I know what's going to come with this.
That's the problem. I'm not just doing this to
hurt you.
Be mean or nothing like that, but listen, I know what's finna happen.
Yeah, I know what come with this. You know what I say to my daughter all the time?
Right. That plaque.
Yeah. I say to my daughter all the time, I've been 7. Have you been 41? That's just that simple. And it's always going to be like that. I've been whatever age you are. You make it here, and then you'll be like, oh, okay, I get it.
I told you, man, my parenting style to my kids is you will see. That's good, bad, or indifferent. Everything I tell you, you will see. You feel what I'm saying? So if I tell you, hey, X, Y, and Z. Even if that's for the good, you will see why I told you that. I told you, right? But this it's for the bad too. The bad things, you will see. I told you. You feel what I mean? Like, especially navigating with.
My grandmother used to tell me, keep playing, hard head, make a soft ass. And I done had plenty of soft.
Hey, so you also, man, just overall, everything has been like really great and going good. You call me with good news all the time. Like, you call me with good news, or just when we talking, it's always good news. But I want to tell you thank you, because you actually sent me my programming for my my bodybuilding journey that I'm going on, man, and that eventually I'm gonna be a bodybuilder at some point. But like, you told me what to stay away from, what work, what exercises to do. I could call him right now. I could call him like, yo, I'm not, my abs, and he'll hold on and send me a meal plan that I haven't been sticking to. But all of this because you actually
it's a process.
Yeah, it's but you actually been doing some training, some personal training. Like, let's talk about that.
Yeah, I've been personal training now. They gave me 60 days to, it was 6 months to get my personal trainer's license. I did it in 6 days.
Yeah. So what encompasses a personal trainer license? What do you have?
You got to know about, like, the nutrition. What muscle group is this and what muscle group is that? How many reps to do this, whether it's hypertrophy. And it's a lot, man.
Yeah, because you used to be a bodybuilder, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, you won competitions?
Power lifter type of shit, too, right?
Power lifting stuff, yeah.
Oh, you won some powerlifting competition?
I didn't. Every time I would go there, like, when you, like, you better watch yourself, because, like, every time when you eating so healthy, and sometimes it breaks your body down and you get sick.
Yeah.
Because you got to eat super, super healthy. But, like, I had sent him a video. I'm in there back rowing 500, like, whatever.
Yeah. And you actually, you know some of them big bodybuilders,
Like, on, and March and stuff, you can go to, like, the Arnold Classics. It's actually coming up.
Yeah.
Next week.
Where is that?
In Columbus, Ohio.
Okay.
You can go there, meet, greet all of them, and then they'll give you inside steps on what to do and what not to do.
See, I'm not a power lifter. Like, I'm going to be more cut up. Like, I'm really getting there, though, for real. Like, my I had on a T-shirt when my mama was over, and she like, Twin, you still been working out? I'm like, shit, every day. Like, at least I try. I mean,
that's
I try.
That's what you said to your mama, shit, every day.
Yeah, we at my house. But I at least try to go 5 days a week, man, or if I don't go, I work out at the crib. You know what I'm saying? Like, little light workouts, calisthenics or whatever. But, like, I got it. Like, Ramadan is coming up, and I know that that's going to help so much. And
I haven't
done a full Ramadan in forever. But every time I think about that, I always just refer back to after we took our Shahada, Ramadan came, and it was in August, and we did it, and nobody could believe it that was around us. So that's always been my motivation to know that I could, I mean, my inspiration to know that I could do it. Like, so I can't wait for Ramadan, actually.
Yeah, me neither. Yeah, because that's what I said. It's going to cut out a lot of things that you've been wanting maybe to cut out anyway.
Correct.
So it's like, since whatever your purpose is for Ramadan, it's like, oh, this is at least 30 days of fasting.
At least 30 days of fasting.
At least 30 days of fasting. So are you planning on getting back into bodybuilding personally, or just training people?
Yeah, I want to compete in the Masters. That's for, like, I ain't going to tell my age. That's for that age. Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
Okay,
it's for that age. But it's cool with me because I don't eat meat.
Okay.
I haven't had meat in, like, over 3 years.
Okay.
Right, yeah. So how was your journey on cutting meat out? Like, okay, well, like, how was your meat consumption? Because when people say they don't eat meat, people automatically think that they was in love with eating meat. Like,
no, we really didn't eat nothing but, like, turkey and chicken.
Yeah. Okay.
So then one day she had cooked some wings, I think. It was some wings. That's what I used to eat all the time. And I smelt it. And I was like, oh, I don't want this no more. Like, so she thought I was playing. She set it down. And I ate like four of them. I said, it's over.
Yeah. That's how I was. Like, so pork is the only thing I was able to do cold turkey, except for get away from sucking niggas. But, and it was just because one day, like, I had like a fried pork chop. And I just looked at it in the same thing. I was like, this was before we even reverted to Islam. I was like, I don't think I want this. And then I bit it, and I was like, I can't even chew this up, man. It's over. It's over, man.
My pork story is like, somebody mama was cooking some pork chops. You know what I'm saying? And I was over there, and it wasn't that I didn't even want none, but like the smell of it, I was just like, yo, what is your mom's cooking? Like, yo, that smelled disgusting. And when she could have said anything. She could have been like, roast beef. It would have been over for roast beef. You know what I'm saying?
So somebody else's mama not being able to cook.
Yo, that shit smelled horrible. And I was done with it. Like, you know what I'm saying? Because, but yeah, that was the, yeah. But like, I am super disciplined, like, when it comes to a lot of things, man. Yeah. But since I've been on my workout journey, because I don't call it a health journey, it's just a lifestyle change journey. Since I've been on that, I feel like I could eat what I want because I'm really on the journey.
Yeah, you call this boy, hey, I'm in the gym, I'll call you back. You feel what I'm saying? Because mine a little different, right? So I can lose, I can shed pounds quicker than me. Than him. Okay. You feel what I'm saying? I don't have to do nothing. I probably walk 100 miles a week, probably more. You know what I'm saying? And when I'm walking, that's my main time to intermittent fast. So depending on the weather, I drink water. That's it while I'm walking. And one time I just was like, the colder it is, I don't even want to drink as much water because when it's cold outside and you drink water, I feel like you got to go to the bathroom.
And cold
like
water. I don't drink cold water. It's room temp. You know what I'm saying? But
So at your max, what you was benching off the powerlifting?
At my max, it was for my size like 380 something.
Yeah.
And then on my legs, the most I ever done on my legs was 5 sets of 16 at like 1100.
Yeah.
How do that, when you go to the doctor, how do they got to take your blood pressure?
With a thigh cuff.
They got to put the thigh joint around his arm. Yeah. But he be calling me in the morning on his way to the gym or I'm on my way. Like, we be, yeah.
But people tell me, like some people will say, I can't do that. I was like, I know you can do that. Remember the last time when I came up here, I barely can walk up here. That's because I had just woke up with that COVID.
Yeah.
And I had died twice. Yeah. Gained like 80 pounds, bro, because I was down for like, I don't know, probably like almost a year.
Yeah.
I barely can walk. They gave me a 6-minute walk test.
Yeah.
It took me 45 minutes to do it.
Straight up?
Walk 6 minutes.
Yeah.
So when I had came up here and I was with y'all, that's when I had got myself back to walking.
Yeah, and then.
I was almost like, 300 pounds. I went from like 2-something.
Yeah.
Like 210 to like almost 300 pounds. And then soon I'm able to get there, and then I went right back to the gym.
Yeah.
That's what I tell people, man, ain't no such thing as I can't.
I tell, that's what I went out, because we coached the little kids. Now we coach 3rd through 5th grade basketball for this session. Man, I tell you, it ain't, left hand layups. Ain't no such thing as can't, right? Because if you feel like you can't do a left hand layup, it's a lot of stuff you feel like you can't do that you might not even be trying to
do. You can't talk, you can't tell me you can't do something. That's the only can't that you can't do. You can't tell me that you can't.
Because I've been in this position. I've been not knowing how to do a layup. You know what I mean? Now I can show you how to do a layup. And that just took practice. So that's what I even tell my kids, look, whatever you want to do, practice don't make perfect, but practice to get you better.
And then stick to it, man.
Consistency of practice.
So when you are working out, what's your favorite part about working out? Like you didn't finish. What's the most you did on your legs? Cause you
1100.
That sounds crazy.
Crazy as hell. Yeah. That means he could kick through both of us. Like through you, though.
I'm not giving nobody the chance.
Yeah, 1,100 pounds. Yeah. And how did you feel after you did that?
I was cool because me and my boy was going at each other. We was just talking crazy. It was like, you ain't stronger than me. And I'm telling him the same thing. And then we kept going on and on and on and on. We paid for it.
Yeah, the next day.
I think we better stop, bro, for we hurt one another. Then I think we ain't walked right for like 2 weeks. Like, we had like shaky legs.
Yeah. That's crazy. That's
nah, so back to the podcast, right? So when you decide that you go do the podcast, how do you get the word out? How would, if I was a grieving parent, because you say these people hit you up from everywhere, how would they contact you to do so?
Grieving Our Babies Podcast at Gmail.
Okay.
They can email me or they can just go on the Instagram. Just email me.
And this
And you can email us. You can get at us. We would definitely pass.
I'm not turning no parent down, bro.
And this is why that's great, right? And because last episode, we were talking and you was like, I did this for my baby and not everybody asking me what should they do. And I asked you the question. I said, what did you tell them? And your answer was, I told them what to do. And I told you that's what you're supposed to do. So now this is another outlet because they might need this to get the word out, especially if it's something criminal, to just where the public can hear it, because that's what actually happened with you. You were able to get the word out where the public can hear it. And as a result, that's when the good ball start and rolling.
Right. And that's why I want to refer people to actually watching Web of Death on Hulu episode 5 Facebook Live, because that was in real time.
Yeah.
That was like a lot of the stuff that people see and hear about, they only hear about it, and it's nothing to show them how in real time it was. That was literally real time. And since you went live on Facebook and got the ball rolling, it was a real snowball effect. It's not, you can't make this up. Like, from that moment of that first Facebook Live, everything changed. And then to write the book and know what was going on with you just 4 days prior to that. You feel me? What you was on. You feel what I'm saying? What you was on just literally, maybe not even 4 days, but just like literally what sent you to sleep in that depression, and you woke up out of that. In that
and
phase.
I had to take accountability too.
Yeah. Well, man. What did you have to take accountability for? I would like to know that.
As a man, a father?
Yeah. Because, I mean, like, I didn't know you was going to say that, so I want to know what
man,
you mean
listen,
by
that. I'm about accountability.
Yeah.
I can't ask nobody else to take accountability for something if I don't do it myself.
Yeah.
That'd be fake.
Yeah. Do you feel like you wasn't holding yourself accountable?
No, I just didn't care. I was too depressed to care.
Yeah.
But what I'm doing, I done disappeared on my family for 3 years.
Yeah.
Disappeared on them.
Yeah.
But you was right there.
I was inside the home.
Yeah, because when you say disappear, just to like.
I disappeared, not physically.
But mentally.
But mentally, I was shot.
Yeah.
It was over with.
Yeah.
And I had to apologize for that.
Yeah. To the whole family.
Yeah.
Yeah. Man. No, that's what I'm saying. Because, I mean, you of course you apologize to your wife, but you got
to
apologize because you're still a father because you got other
it's
children.
It's like I disappeared on my boys too. You feel me? Like
right. At a critical time too.
Yeah, right. Cause y'all was in school, and that I would go to his games and stuff, but I still was messed up. But I could have made him go further. You know what I'm saying? And then like 1 year, they had almost got to the championship.
Yeah.
But I'm still my noodle still messed up.
Yeah.
So he quit basketball.
Straight up.
He quit. But the next year, the same team. Same everything. They went to a championship.
Yeah.
Right.
So he in the stands with my wife and his
cheering
friends.
Cheering him on when he's supposed to be on the court.
Cheering him on. And I'm supposed to be a dang dad, but I'm in the room locked the hell up. You feel me?
Yeah.
Take accountability for what you did.
Yeah. Now, what kind of weight was lifted off your shoulders when you took accountability?
Still there.
Yeah.
But
It's just a little light.
I mean, but you got good kids, but I got a lot of stuff going.
You know what I'm saying?
You could, if you felt like that was a wrong, but it was necessary.
I had to do that, bro. Because then, what I also had to do was the hardest thing ever, man. Like, oh, man. I had to forget that dude that killed Keisha, man. Yeah. Why? Why did I have to do that?
Yeah.
Because how I got a kids foundation.
Yeah.
We got a kids bowling league.
Yeah.
I'm mentoring kids in high school.
Yeah.
Kids see me in the streets, run up to me, scream, pop off Frost.
Yeah.
How I'm teaching them not to shoot, not to hate, but yet I'm hating somebody.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
You can't do it.
Yeah.
So when you said you forgave them, have you reached out to them?
No.
Okay.
You forgave him in your heart. I'm saying, when I say that, in your heart.
No. But the reason I asked that, because last episode, you wasn't even willing to forgive.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, no, last episode, you said it. Janice and Yacht forgave him.
Yeah, but
I didn't. Said you, Lil Cal, wasn't with it.
That's actually tremendous growth into it.
Right.
I got to commend you on that, though.
But check this out, though. Like I told him, I did forget this dude because I got to work with these kids. You feel me? Also, he had a kid when he was going to prison.
Yeah.
I told him they can bring him to the bowling alley. I slap a jersey on him, too, and wouldn't say nothing about his dad, period. That's his business.
Yeah.
He got to tell him that. Not me.
Right, because I was just about to say, what's the likelihood of his kids coming through the program? Listen,
if they come to that that bowling alley shoe, grab a ball.
Yeah.
You hungry?
Yeah.
Right.
Grab some pieces.
Because one thing I do know is that you don't have a father. I for sure know that. Everybody else around might, you know what I'm saying? But I know that you don't. So, man, that's dope, man. That's dope. And I commend you on that,
too. His uncle was there, too. The dude, his uncle was there when I did that speech. He got up and grabbed me and hugged me. Yeah. Now me and his uncle talk all the time.
Right. That's what I'm saying. So, y'all sitting down and talking is not far-fetched as it was last time, because last time you weren't even open to forgiveness. You know what I'm saying? So, damn, that's dope, man. Like, I'm happy you forgave him, because that now I know that took a big weight off your shoulders.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I know that took a big weight off
that your shoulders. That took a weight off my shoulders. But listen, man, when you're going through something, it's always a storm. Three parts of it, right? It's like, so I was going in the storm when I met y'all.
Yeah.
Then when I was with y'all doing all that justice stuff for Keisha and writing the book, I was inside the eye of the storm. Yeah. When I got justice, I didn't even come out the storm. I just stuck my head out. Because what people don't know, when I got justice for Keisha, when that book got wrote, I still was depressed, bro.
Yeah.
So I went and got a condo down there in Texas.
Yeah.
Not to be a baller or none of that stuff. She thought I was down there really working.
Yeah.
But I ain't want to be depressed at home again in front of her.
Because you just had
winter. I want to go, and I want to go back to bed.
Yeah.
Why? Because I don't have nothing else to fight for.
Yeah.
So it sucked myself.
Because it kind of was like, so what's my real purpose? Like, because when we going through all of this, you thinking, this is my purpose in life, to get justice for my daughter. And you get to the finish line, and now you like.
Man, I just peeked out the storm and just looked like, yeah, look good. I got to go.
Yeah.
So at times when Jew would call me, what you doing? I'm in the bed in the condo.
I'm like, yo, that ain't it. Get up, dog. What you want?
Like, we got to get this book done, bro. Yeah. So I wanted to put myself back in the eye of the storm, but I wanted to do it in hiding.
Yeah.
So nobody couldn't see me.
Because you got people who go to be like, come
get
on,
up,
bro.
Man.
Yeah, what you doing,
like,
bro?
What you got to, you got justice for Keisha, so what is you doing? I ain't had nothing else to fight for.
Yeah.
So
now you got these kids.
So what, hold on. So recognizing that about yourself, are you taking on these projects so you can feel like you have a purpose?
No.
So you don't want to feel like that I don't have nothing to do, because that might draw you back to your depression?
Sometimes it do.
Yeah.
Sometimes it do that. But when I tell you one thing, I was still in the eye of the storm. But when I forgave that dude.
Yeah.
When they say forgiveness is real, bro, I ain't gonna even lie. When I forgave that dude, God didn't make me peek out the storm. It's just like he's like, okay, and kicked me out.
Yeah.
And then, you know, when the storm stopped, the rain, the snow or whatever, now look at us, bro. That light is shining on me.
Yeah.
That's what a rainbow is. That, yeah, a real rainbow.
Hey, man, listen. Yeah. I know God's shining down on us now. Like, for real. I know it. I don't know what Keisha got going on up there, but she got a contract with God or something, bro.
Right.
And now I'm laughing. I'm playing.
Yeah.
And then now I used to go on Facebook or go on Instagram looking for stuff for people say about me.
Yeah.
Man, listen. All these headphones is cancellation.
Yeah.
I can't even hear it, bro. It didn't even go through my head no more.
But they saying a lot of good things, man. You actually changing the city. You running with the mayor, you going to the senator, everybody, like, and even some of those old cops that was mentioned in the book, they came to you and
they asked us to do a book bag drive. Well, they asked us to do a night out with them up in the community.
Yeah.
So I went and used the credit card, and I bought 100 backpacks and school supplies and stuff for gave to the kids.
Yeah, that's dope, bro.
Yeah,
that's dope.
Yeah. So it's really good to see, like, the positive outcome that just letting the truth be known. Because if we would have spread any lies within the book,
it'd be out by now.
So that means that some of those police and people that were involved was taking accountability, because even now that it's not in real time and in hindsight, when they look back at, when they read what you was actually going through, none of them that's parents would ever want to even be in that position, because it strips away me being a police having to do this. But now I'm reading this book and I'm like, damn, what if that was my daughter? Like, it's just
or did I drop the ball? And make it listen, man, when you got to take accountability, or somebody come to you and really say out their mouth, yo, I think you wronged me and this is how, and they telling you this, where you have to look back on that exact situation, right? This is how I think you wronged me in this situation. I don't care if you thought that you wronged me in another situation. I'm talking about this specific situation. When you have to replay that and look at it from somebody else's perspective, you'd be like, you got to be a human and be like, I apologize for that because I can see where you felt that way. Now, let me tell you what was going on in my life at this time.
Moment, yeah. Right? Now, let me ask you this, though, not to cut you off. What if dude reached out to you?
To do what? Go see him in the prison?
Just to talk.
It could be to tell you he's sorry.
Like, because you said you was talking to his uncle. What if his uncle was like, yo, he want to say something to you?
Shoot, I'm going to go up there and sit down with him.
Yeah.
That's dope, man.
Hey, listen, man. Listen. I'm going to be honest with y'all. Whenever he get out, Keisha not dead no more. You feel me?
Right. Explain what you mean.
Keisha ain't dead. Keisha's worldwide.
Right.
So whenever we pass, like how we set that book up, that book gonna sell 70 years later.
Right.
That Hulu.
Yeah.
That's gonna keep playing.
Right.
That foundation is still gonna be there. Her clothing line, we still got that.
Right.
It's so much that we done did.
In her name.
In her name.
With her name, not in her name.
Yeah, with her, name.
Yeah.
And then they talking about, what did they say? That we capitalizing off of
who Keisha said Brady. That?
Oh man, it's rough.
well, you know
it's
why?
Funny
because y'all don't. The only thing that's really for profit in this situation is the book sales, which actually go toward helping the foundation.
Yeah.
So, like, what are we talking
about?
Hey,
bro, we done got denied for $7,000, bro.
Yeah.
They denied us for $7,000. I used to worry about it, but listen, God gonna make a way. Trust. Like what I was told, your money ain't gonna come from that city.
Right.
You worldwide now. It's gonna come from somewhere else. I don't worry about nothing no more, bro.
Right, yeah. Right.
Like,
but back to this. So you say when he get out, Keisha not dead no more because her name is worldwide. So he gonna have to see it.
Okay, yeah. So this is what I just thought, right? And do you think you could actually bring yourself to having a conversation with him? Because even though Keisha passed, she technically wasn't the intended target of the shooting. And that's, to me, that's also different, right? So if I set out to harm SJ and I harm SJ and then you his brother and I feel like you will harbor hate for me, and it's never over because everybody know I set out to do harm. This and this is to me what I gathered from the story is this was kind of like a teenager being reckless, and it could have been anybody. So is that one of the reasons? Because it's like technically she wasn't your target. Whoever your target was, they after all of this happened, whoever you really was shooting at, because everybody ran, felt like, I got away that night. You see what I'm saying? So is that one of the reasons that could say, I would be able to talk to you because my daughter passed, but I don't believe in my heart that you was really aiming for my daughter. Is that one of the reasons?
He was aiming at somebody, right. But he wasn't aiming at her.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. So because
I could talk to him, yeah. But like if he was to just walk up and just,
yeah, because you know that to me that's a whole different situation.
Yeah, that's a whole different situation right there.
Yeah,
no, right. I ain't trying to holler at you
because this might not even be the none of this would happen if that was the situation.
Yeah, because that would be different. Yeah.
That I mean, in the parent mind, I don't care where you're from. The first thing would be like, I gotta handle this. But then when you sit down,
where's my first
mind? Right, that's like
when I got
Styles
the phone
P.
call.
Right, that's Styles P gave the best advice to let the fan blow and cool off and see. You gotta look
at
everything.
When I got the phone call, I didn't even believe it. I'm like, Keisha dead. Oh, I just hung the phone up. Click.
Yeah.
And then, yeah.
Then I got the call back again. So,
all right. But before we get up out of here,
hold on, because there's one more thing, right? Because you mentioned God. How big a role did your faith play in all of this going through your healing process? How big a role? Because I don't know, were you religious? Were you just somebody who
I was
know it's a God?
I was frightened. I was like, I ain't trying to hear none of that stuff.
Yeah.
Like, my faith was, like, my faith was, it was torn. It was roughed up. Like,
right, but how, okay, how, before now, this, no, before this, before the tragedy, how much were you into God? Or was you one of the people who just, hey, I'm out here and I'm living and I'm doing good because of me? Yeah, I believe it's a God, but if I ain't doing nothing, the end of tragedy, now you have to seek something to keep your sanity.
I
believe in God,
but I was out there wilding the hell out.
Yeah. And then this made, after the tragedy, how was your faith? And then now I could tell that you have an ultimate faith in God, because you mentioned God a lot during this. So what was it, when he kicked you out the storm recently?
No, I just always just sit down and pray, because it's always I'm trying to do this. I'm trying to do that. I'm trying to do that. So, you know, you trying to do it, God was like, go have your business there.
Go here, let me see what you got. Yeah. Let me
see what you got. So then I was like, forget this. Like, I can't do this.
To reinforce
I got to call him. So when I called upon him, bro, just everything just started going like, flowing.
Yeah.
That's what's
let
up.
Let me take the wheel.
Yeah. Won't what? He do it?
Right.
Man, it's always a pleasure, man. I love you, brother.
Love you too.
I see you got the rubber bands too.
Yeah. Oh yeah, man. That's Keisha.
Yeah.
Rubber band. And then they got two other babies, you know, they were killed in Michigan City also.
Okay.
And
sorry to hear that.
Their parents haven't got the justice that they need yet.
What's the names?
Millie Mo.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a brother and it's a sister and a brother.
Both of them were murdered?
Well, I don't know about the other one, but I know the little girl was.
Yeah.
I don't know what's going on with the...
They going to be on your podcast?
Man. Yeah.
Okay.
And what's the name of that one more time, just to let them know the name of the new podcast that's coming out?
Grieving Our Babies Podcast.
Okay.
And you could go on YouTube and type that in and it's going to pop up. You could go on Instagram, type that in and it's going to pop up. If you are a person out there that's trying to get at him with a story and you can't
contact him
to tell your story and you can't get in contact with him, you could contact us for sure.
We definitely have passed the message along.
Yeah.
Grieving Our Babies Podcast at gmail.com.
All okay. One word.
Yep. Lowercase, all one word.
Yeah, AJ.
And you know what, man? You really doing the Lord's work. Whatever.
Lord.
Well, yeah, whatever people subscribe to, religions, like I just mentioned that we doing Ramadan. That's an Islamic practice, but we live in America and everything mixed up. Religions, everything, right? You doing the Lord's work, man.
I have no choice, bro, because I wanted help and everybody turned their back on us, so... I feel like if some parents going through the same thing, the door not going to be shut, man. I get them in there. Tell how you feel about your baby.
Yeah.
Who knows? They may have a book. They right. may have a Hulu documentary. They might get a foundation.
Right.
I didn't know when I came to it all. Yeah. And now look what it
is. Yeah. And I told you that was just the winner. Beginning. I was like, oh, right. man. Yeah. And you about to start working on something else. And I told you, no, bro, I'm not helping you write it, bro. I can sort you all the way through and stuff like that. But, like, you're an award-winning author. Like, you can start helping people write. You know what I'm saying? Like, but, man, I'm proud of you, man. And I'm happy that we was able to accomplish what you told me that you wanted to set out accomplish with just the book. And I knew that if we put in the work, and I knew that you was gonna do it, you know what I'm saying? So when I hit you up, and I told you that we was award winning authors, because you was checking, and I was like, oh, I know how they work. I know that they only go update it. As soon as they did it, I hit you. Yeah, baby, we did that twice. You know what I'm saying? So it's the true crime novel.
Okay.
And then it's the memoir, correct?
Yeah.
So that's, you know what I'm saying? What ain't that what it's called? Memoir?
Autobiography. Yeah, memoir.
Damn.
Autobiography slash memoir.
I'm
just making sure you pronouncing them French words right, baby. Can't be alone in here. You know what I'm saying? Hey, so ain't no more going back to the Texas condo to feel depressed, baby. You feel me?
You got
them up on the wall in the Texas condo too? You gotta put them joints everywhere. You earned that, man.
Earned that.
You know what I'm saying? Because I actually just watched when we released the episode from the vault, because the episodes be so old to me. I watch it again. You know what I mean? So that's why I'm like, hey, if anybody ever want proof that if you put your work behind your words, that it will happen, they can use that. Right? This is not even a full 2 years later.
Nope.
Right? So. Not even a full 2 years later. The only thing that's changed in that full 2 years is the Pistons worse than the Indiana Pacers. So you got us on that one. You know what I mean? Yeah. But that's the only thing that's changed, yeah. Right? But y'all put your work behind the words. And now the book was sitting on the table first. These sitting behind us now. And this, when we look back in two more years, this going to be so low on the totem pole of what's happened since then. It's going to be
low.
Like,
it's going to
no,
be
No, what
so,
I'm saying, no, 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 no. It is low on the totem pole because the totem pole go up. The book is the foundation of the totem pole. That's why I don't understand when people say you're the lowest man on the totem pole. That's what's holding the totem pole up. That's the foundation of the totem pole.
That's what started it.
Right. Yeah. So I can be the low man on the totem pole if all my homeboys and everybody I'm with is above that. Because if the low part of the totem pole is secured, this will never fall. That book is the starting part, the low thing on the totem pole. So then it's the foundation. It's the awards. It's the Hulu series. It's the everything. It's the everything. It's the everything. And on that totem pole, it's going to be a Bill and Nikisha name. And that might start being so long the totem pole because the name keep living and keep living and keep living. And that's my advice to you, man. Keep living. Keep working.
Hey, here if for they want to catch you, where they can catch you at?
Oh, Instagram and X at TCE Pod.
On YouTube.
On YouTube at the Connected Experience Podcast Visuals. We got the Vault, but we also got the new. So the 2024 playlist is all new. The Vault is all old. And then on Facebook, type in the Connected Experience and just add us because we, hey, man, we bubbling, man. But that worked. That's us working how we said we wanted to do it, too.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? What about you?
Y'all could go to Amazon Prime, type in Animal Instinct, The Urban Jungle Animated, and you could actually watch the internationally award-winning anime full-length movie. Other than that, you could go to Everything Shelby.com. You can order some of my baby's merch. That's her on there. And you can order her
picture
books.
She didn't look like
Shelby
that.
Look like, thank you for telling people. So now,
No, so they didn't know though. Because, these pictures and stuff immortalize people.
Right? So, but you can go to everythingshelby.com. Other than that, I'm Santuan.
I'm Antoine.
I want for my brother
what I want for myself.